All right. Good morning. Welcome. Is that all I get is good morning. That's better. Thank you. What a beautiful day we have. And all I get is the first thing out. Okay, I get it. You know, that's a great difference between morning people and not morning people sometimes. I get that. We have a few announcements this week. VCAM, you see there the information that we've had, that we have to for picking up beans and peanut butter and travel size toothpaste and shampoo and body soap and sanitizer and stuff, along with, as Clara brought up last week, the season appropriate clothing for men and boys. Also, Operation Christmas Child, where is she? Oh, is the boxes here? Or? Okay, so all the information that she was saying is right there in your box, on the bulletin, but the boxes are there, and they will be delivered on or before the last day to drop off is the 17th of November, so please keep that in mind. And she said the shipping is paid for, so please avail yourself of those boxes. We continue on Wednesday night with our study in the book of Acts. You'll see that chapter 1, verses 12 through 26 we'll be looking at this week. Men of Valor is this afternoon at 2 o'clock. I thought I had changed that to chapter 13, but evidently I didn't. So if you haven't read the chapter yet, you still have time. Chapter 13 will be at Jordan and Alana's home at 106 Cumberland. What other prayer, announcements? Yes. Halloween party at Charlie's house on October 25th. Okay. And there's some flyers over here on the table for those to keep that in the back of your mind. Anything else? Okay, let's take a moment and prepare ourselves to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. The Lord calls his people to worship this morning from Psalm 100. A psalm for giving thanks. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Pray with me this morning. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, into your presence you have brought us. Oh, we have made the choice to come, but you made it the desire of our hearts to be here, and we are grateful. for that. As we congregate together with you and your people, we come to bring you honor and glory. We come to worship you together with your people. We come, Father, to receive the means of grace that you have provided for your church. We come and we pray that all that we do here today would bring you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us stand together and sing from our blue Psalter, Psalter number 100C. As we come before the Lord, recognizing the need for our confession as well as recognizing how he has forgiven us. This morning our reading comes from parts of Psalm 76. To the choir master, with stringed instruments, a song, Psalm of Asaph, a song. In Judah, God is known. His name is great in Israel. His abode has been established in Salem, his dwelling place in Zion. There he broke the flashing arrows, the shield, the sword, and the weapons of war. But you are to be feared. Who could stand before you when once your anger is roused? From the heavens you uttered judgment. The earth feared and was still when God arose to establish judgment, to save all the humble of the earth. Pray with me. Father, we rejoice in the word that we have before us, a word that continues to remind us, first of all, who you are, and that you are known in your church. Father, I know the problem is that sometimes we act as if we don't know you. Sometimes we don't find ourselves looking to you for guidance, looking to your word, making decisions on the spur of the moment without seeking your guidance. And yet, we know you. But more importantly, you know us. Spirit is within us, sanctifying us, growing us, gracefully enabling us to glorify you and to worship you. Father, we do pray for the forgiveness of our sins that we do on a regular basis. We pray that you would enable us to fear you, to tremble before you. The depth of your love is beyond our understanding. The depth of your love. And so, Father, we rejoice this day in knowing that we can give thanks that you have chosen us, and that you're sanctifying us daily, moment by moment, making us more and more into the image of your Son. That already and not yet aspect of our faith. We rejoice and give thanks. And we thank you, Father, that you, when we can't pray, you've given us a prayer to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If we continue in our time of singing, let us stand together and sing from our Psalter 76A. Come before the Lord now with prayers and praises for what he's done in our life and what we're praying for him to do and asking for him to do. What prayer requests or praises do we have this morning? Carmen. Third cow, safe delivery. The other two were okay? Okay.
Also, there's a hurricane approaching Florida, and it's aiming straight to Tampa. So, my sister in law, her husband, and Faith are going to be in the thick of it.
Hurricane Milton is on his way towards Florida again, so we need to be in prayer as well. Yes. Charlie.
Jamie and Hank, Hank is really sick and he really can't get out of bed. And Jamie is in a lot of pain. We don't know if it's from the delivery or what, but she's doing the best she can to take care of their four kids. So, there's that. I'm having problems with my back still. I have good days and bad days, mostly good days, though, so that's a breeze. And my husband also is having back problems. Like, okay, we can't both have the same thing at the same time.
Oh, sweet.
To work out some things that
All right, Hank is sick and bedridden at this point with whatever is ailing him. Jenny is having some issues with pain and taking care of the household, as most moms do. Charlie's back issues are off and on and on and off again, but thankfully there's some good news there. Casey is, yeah, you've already told him he can't have back issues, right, during the same, or at least not at the same time you're having issues. That works that way. And then prospective buyer for Hank and Jenny's house, so that's great news to be sure. Yes, Lee. Troops, chaplains, and first responders. And Daddy. Russell's on the road. Well, yeah, he's about to be in the air for work. So please be in prayer for Russell's trips. Okay. Jackson. Okay, a camping trip next Saturday. Oh, and Jackson, Mr. Chris's birthday's on Friday. You probably already knew that, right? No, you didn't. Well, maybe you can get your mom to send him a Facebook message that says, Happy Birthday from Jackson. Clara. I thought she was sick last week. Okay. So the rest of the family is sick. Go ahead, I'm sorry. Okay, so we've got the whole Chambers family, except for Cindy, who has been through this, and we know how that works as parents of young children, how that has a tendency to come back around, to be sure. Roy. Pray for Caleb. Oh, yeah, because Caleb White is sick. Sorry. Got to be careful. Got to be specific which Caleb. We have a few of those now. So, yeah, Caleb White is sick. So please be in prayer for him and Mindy as she cares for him. Yes, Jim. We continue to pray for Kevin as he undergoes his cancer treatments. We're praying for Larry because of his struggling with depression at this particular time. Correctional officers, and then, of course, as you've been seeing the updates that I've sent out, and some of you may have other updates as well from people that you know, the Carolinas and Georgia and eastern Tennessee, along with Florida, still continue to need our prayers and our assistance. Yes, Alana. Five years of marriage. So thankful that you put up with him that long. All righty then. Any other prayer requests or praises? Yes. Is that Ezra? Sorry, Ezra. Mommy and the baby. Luke. The whole church to do what? Have a good day. That's what I thought. Just wanted to make sure he wasn't asked for something else. Mr. Ian. Mama? Oh, Baba. Yeah, Baba's back in the back. Thank you. I'm glad you're here, David. Whether you're here or not, you know you get prayed for, right? Okay. So that's a good thing to know. That's a good thing to be a part of as well. Got to love these grandkids. Yes, Troy.
First for my mom and her siblings. We had my grandma's funeral yesterday, and I know my mom is particularly struggling. She was struggling this morning still, of course. With that comes dealing with the property and the goods that are in the property and all that stuff. So prayers for that happening smoothly over time and no unnecessary strife or stress that goes along with it.
Troy's asking, we pray for his mom specifically, but the family as well, as they deal with the after-funeral work that requires to go on with that, that the whole things would go smooth. Do pray for that. Yes. Sean. Missionaries and more people to come to Christ. All right. Yes, Marcos. Sorry. Today? I missed that. Brazilian elections today. Sorry? Oh, municipal election. Okay. Well, those are sometimes the most important for the local person, to be sure. All right. All right, well, let's go to prayer. Almighty God, once again, we come before you and are grateful that we can. We're thankful that you're with us this morning. We're thankful that you continue to bless us with one another, but we are thankful that your Spirit guides and directs, that you are here and you bless us with your presence. You promise to never leave us or forsake us. Never. And we see that that promise was true even back in the garden. Even after Adam and Eve fell, you came to them. And so, Father, I thank you so much for how you continue to work with us. We have many different prayer requests and different praises, and we're thankful for that. As we think of the birthdays this week, I'll get them out of the way before I forget them. We're thankful, Father, that Bonnie will have a birthday on Monday and Jordan on Tuesday. Thankful for Cameron's birthday on Thursday and Chris as well on Friday, even though Chris is not a member of ours, we're constantly praying for him as well. And the anniversary, Jordan and Alana, we are so thankful, Father, for the love that you continue to shower upon them and their love that we see that encourages us and strengthens us as we see a biblical marriage before us. We do pray for Carmen's third cow for safe delivery. And we do pray, Father, not only for the people that are in the path of Hurricane Milton, since we're not exactly sure where that's going to hit, but we know it's going to hit somewhere in Central Florida. We do pray for them that they would prepare, that they would do what needs to be done to get out of the way of this potential big hurricane. We do pray for those who are still recovering in the Carolinas and Georgia and Tennessee and in Florida, the panhandle. We pray, Father, that you would continue to bless those folks, bless those churches that are up and running with the ability to be able to be centers for these folks, to have food and water, maybe even a place to lay their head. Pray that your churches would see the need that they have, an area to fill, and that they would fill that so that the love of God is seen in giving out things like water and food and a pillow, perhaps. Lord, we do think of all those who are sick in our midst today. We pray your blessing would be upon them, that they would be healed sooner rather than later, if that be your will. We do pray and understand that in this world, sickness is part and parcel of what we live with, and yet at the same time, we know we can pray to you for relief, if that be your will. We know that we can pray that you will take care of that, and you will. You always do. We do pray as well for those who are not here today. We pray for those who are on vacation, like the Shaws, and we pray for those who are going on vacation before next Sunday, like the Baylors. And we just ask, Father, for that rest and relaxation that comes with vacation as well. Father, we think of those who are struggling with physical ailments like back problems, like Charlie and Casey and others. We just pray your continued blessing upon them as they endure through sometimes just the pain. There's not much that can get me done, and we just pray you give them strength in the midst of that. We do pray for our missionaries, Father, as we think of as we think of Wes Baker, who was here just a couple weeks ago. We're grateful, Father, for that work in Peru. We're thankful for the work in Isaiah 55. We pray for those missionaries and others who are seeking to work there amongst the Hispanics in that area. We pray that for their search for a director. We pray, Lord, you would continue to bless them in that search. We pray, Father, for Dan and Becky on the Youngs on the border. We pray for Tim and Sherry as well as they prepare to go back to Africa. And we thank you, Father, that we can pray for those outside of our congregation as well, like Kevin, as he continues to deal with his cancer treatments. And pray for Larry, as we've done for years. Pray for our first responders, our police, our sheriff's office, our correctional officers. Lord, we look to them to take care of us in so many different ways, and we take them for granted on so many different levels. And so we do pray for them. We pray for our troops. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless Troy's family. After the loss of his grandmother, his mother's mom, we just pray for strength for her. Pray, Lord, for that grieving process, that your presence, your word would give her great comfort, that the family would surround one another and uplift one another, especially as they walk through this process of after the funeral process and all the paperwork that comes with that. Lord, I pray for cool heads and remarkably great sailing waters ahead for them. Lord, we do pray for the fact that all of us, as Luke reminds us, we praise for a good day for us. Lord, we pray that whatever good that we have of this day would bring you honor and glory. We are thankful that David's with us tonight, this morning, and we pray your continued blessing on him and his condition. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to watch over the elections, whether it's in this country or, as Marcos reminds us, that Brazil will be having municipal elections. We pray, Lord, that there would be people that care about people. Lord, I would love it if you put Christians in those areas, and it could happen. And we just pray, Lord, that if that happens, that they would be able to influence the area in which they are. Lord, I thank you that we have the opportunity for outreach wherever we are, whether it's in politics, whether it's in the nursery, whether it's on the road, seeing clients, whatever it is, on the phone with other clients. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to outreach on your behalf, to spread the gospel on your behalf. And we do pray that more people would come to know you, as Sean reminds us every week. And we do pray, Father, that you would continue to bless the marriages and continue to bless the women in our church that are carrying covenant children. We pray for Kayla and Lauren and Alana, and we're thankful for all the children in our midst and are very, very grateful for them as well. And the more that you bring us, we're just thankful for. As we were reminded last week, we do need to pray for our teachers, administration, and students. There's been enough issues in our school systems of late. We pray for safety. We pray as well for wisdom. And we pray, Father, that you would grant them grace in the midst of this situation. Lord, we thank you that we can take these few moments, that we can lift before you these prayer requests, of which I'm sure I've forgotten one or more. And I just know that you know them. And yet at the same time, I thank you for the opportunity I have as the pastor to pray for them at this point in time. We know who you are. You know who we are. We're thankful, Lord, that you are our God. You are the God. You are our God, and we are your people. And we rejoice in how good you are, how merciful you are, how gracious you are, and that your steadfast love is everlasting. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue in our time of worship this morning, we have opportunity to return to the Lord a portion of what he's given us in his tithes and offerings. So would the ushers please come forward for morning offering. Well, let's stand together and sing the doxology as we give thanks for the goodness of the Lord. Again, Father, it is so good to know that you're with us. We do pray your blessing be upon these tithes and these offerings, that you'd multiply them for the work here in Victoria and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen. So we continue this morning. Let us turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Mark chapter 9. Be looking at verses 14 through 29 this morning. Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 29. You know, one of the things we've seen is that even with all the misunderstanding of the disciples up to this point, Jesus doesn't give up on them. They, like us, make great confessions. We also can wax eloquently as far as a particular scripture or a verse, and yet there are times when at the end of that, there still is a sense that we don't understand. They had done great things, and the power of Christ, they had made great confessions. They had seen amazing things. They were with Christ, and yet there was so much, especially the last few weeks, that we've seen that they didn't seem to get yet. There's so much like us in one way, that constant need for growth, that sanctification. And they were with Jesus. I don't know how many times I've heard people through the years say, you know, if Jesus had chosen us, we would have done better. Would we? How many times during the day do you seek to do things based on your own heart's desire? How many times during the day do we tell ourselves that we've got this, we've got it covered, we don't need help from anybody? How many times during the day do we simply do things without consulting our King? Oh, he's too busy to deal with such minor things. They were so much like Peter, so much like the disciples, Peter specifically, who told Jesus after he woke up, it's good that we're here. Let's make three tents, as if he'd been involved in the conversation all along. He didn't ask Jesus, his transformed Lord. That's who we're going to look at today, what he should do. You know, trusting God doesn't mean telling him what he must do. Trusting God means waiting and listening. one of the things that hit me as well, especially thinking about Peter this week and last week, how many times do we think of our Lord as just a friend? Somebody that we can go to if we need help, someone that we can contact every once in a while. How many times do we just think of him that perspective? As we were talking about in Sunday school, I think sometimes we have this inability to understand the majesty of Christ. Well, today, Jesus is going to show his disciples, or at least three of them, his majesty. Oh, he did that last week. This week, he's going to be dealing... Sorry about that. There's just these three stories go together so well. He's shown them his majesty, and what they do, they were asleep. So today he's going to also, they're going to see their weakness, their failures, and the solution to those failures. So read with me Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 29. And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them, and the scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed, and he ran up to them and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, saying, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams, and he grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it is often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe. Help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out. And the boy was a corpse, or was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." Father, as we look at your word, we pray your spirit to work upon our hearts, granting us the grace that we need to understand not only who you are, but also to understand how we are to believe and how we are to use this for others. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus has been doing these kind of things for nine chapters. These amazing acts of miracles, these amazing acts before his people, showing just how strong a king he is. For the king has come. Kingdom of God is at hand. And he's doing all this in the midst of weakness, specifically weakness of faith. Jesus is always about teaching. He's always about strengthening the faith of his elect. He's always about revealing who he is and what he came to do and what our responsibility is in all this. So what we have before us this morning is the fact that he reveals the weak faith of his own men. But he shows us his strength. He is our strong king. Mark focuses the attention on their failure. And Jesus gives them the reason for their failure. And then he also gives a solution. So let's look a moment at the failure, verses 14 through 18. And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them, and the scribes argued with them. Now, We have to remember they were up on the mountain. So this, when the word says when they, we're talking about Jesus, Peter, James, and John. They came down from the mountain. They came to the disciples. They saw a great crowd around them and the scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And when it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." While Jesus was revealing his glory to Peter, James, and John on the mountain, the other disciples were dealing with a failure that was being thrown into their faces by none other than our great friends, the scribes, who are always trying to find some way or another to undercut the witness of Christ and his disciples. What was the failure? Well, they couldn't remove this evil spirit from this boy. They couldn't do it. And so they were arguing with the scribes. You know, the scribes had a typical argument, and their argument would have went like this. Well, we have priests in our order that are exorcists. This is what they do. They're professionals. You're just fishermen. See, that's why it didn't work. Now, the other side of that argument, you know how that works. The disciples would say, well, it worked a few weeks ago. There must be something going on that we don't know about. It's not our fault. So the argument's going back and forth, and who gets left out? The child. How often do we get so caught up in protecting ourselves that we forget the ministry before us? That we forget our families, our friends? How many times does that happen? There's a story that I heard in Grand Rapids when we were there a few years ago. The two Dutch mission agencies were trying to determine which of the two of them would reach out to this particular African tribe with the gospel. Well, they argued back and forth for a number of months before they were able to decide which one of them would take the gospel to this particular tribe. They argued for so long that by the time they finished, the tribe had been annihilated by another tribe. So focused on their goals that they forgot what they were there for. Arguing over who's going to present the gospel. Waste of time. Focusing on the wrong things leads to nothing getting done. Same thing with the apostles here, the disciples here. They were focusing on the fact that they couldn't do it. They had failed. Well, Jesus gives the reason for their failure, and it's not what they expected. He answered them, "O faithless generation," unbelieving is the Greek word, "generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him, and when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" "From childhood. It has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for the one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe. Help my unbelief." Did you catch the reason why it didn't work? Not what they were expecting. I mean, after all, Jesus had given them the power to deliver those who had an evil spirit. Did you get the reason why they couldn't remove the evil spirit? What's the simple one-word answer? Anybody? Unbelief. Not what they expected. Not what they expected. Not what we expect. He had told them they could do this. And they couldn't. Jesus had been dealing with the disciples over and over and over again, dealing with their unbelief. They had had such a successful ministry. They had seen people come to know the Lord. They had been preaching the message of the gospel. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And people were coming to faith. They had seen people healed. They had anointed them and healed them. They had seen healings. They had seen evil spirits dealt with. They were as high as they could get. And then from the moment we saw the feeding of the 5,000, there has been one issue after another. One issue. They had a hard heart because they couldn't figure out the loaves. How many times over the course of three chapters do we see Jesus rebuking them for their lack of understanding? Their prejudice before the Gentiles. Their inability to capture the majesty of their God on the mountain when he was transfigured. Even after they saw Moses and Elijah, what were they doing? According to Luke, they were sleeping. And then they wake up. Rabbi, it's good that we're here, as if Peter had anything to do with any of this. Rabbi, really? Who is Jesus to Peter? Jesus is his God, his King, his Lord. And he says, Rabbi. So yeah, Jesus says, you unbelieving generation. How long have I got to put up with you? How long is it going to take for you to figure it out? And of course, the whole reason for this struggle was what Jesus said last week. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of men. Peter's lack of reverence, Peter's lack of understanding, Peter's lack. He called his King, his Lord, Rabbi. And what did God the Father do? This is my beloved Son. He didn't say this is a great rabbi. He didn't say this was a great prophet. He didn't even say this was just another man. He said, this is my beloved Son. Peter, figure it out. Listen to him. Those words are ours. Because we treat Christ the same way we treat all the ones that we love. We take him for granted. We think of him as no different than our friend, our family, our grandfather. The church is full of folks, myself included, that don't take the time to consider the majesty of the one who saved us. He is our King. It's an abomination to call him rabbi. Because he's more, much more than just a teacher. He's the Son of God. And God wanted to make sure that Peter remembered that. These words of Jesus, oh unbelieving generation, were a cry that is very significant from Jesus. His disappointment was real. Jesus doesn't soft pedal his reaction either. Nor does he allow them to think that their failure was a justifiable inadequacy. You know how we are as people. It's not my fault. I'm only human after all. He doesn't let them get away with that. You unbelieving generation. The reason for the problem is your unbelief, your lack of trust, your weak faith. But thankfully, we have a strong God, a strong King. Jesus makes many different statements in the Scriptures, but the next one after that is very similar to ones he's made before. All things are possible for the one who believes. I have to wonder, are the disciples even listening? Even now? But it's the Father who gets it, doesn't he? The Father gets Jesus' point. I believe. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Help me trust. Help me fear. Help my lack of belief. He gets it and looks to Christ. Calvin put it this way: he who struggles with his own weaknesses and presses towards faith in his moments of anxiety is already in large part victorious. Calvin goes on to speak about this man. He says, this is not a sign of lack of faith, for it is a sign of faith to turn to God for help. We see it all through the Psalms. Psalm 41:4 says, heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. Only those with faith would do what? They would go to the one who could heal them, make them stronger. Jesus reacts to this Father, for he alone comes to him with understanding and trust. Much like the publican who said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Well, lastly, Jesus reveals the solution. He doesn't want everybody, all of us, to get caught up in just the negative side of things. The solution, 25 through 29. And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out. And the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he'd entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. Not the first question that would have came to my mind, unless I was still trying to cover my rear end for messing up. The word for arose there is resurrect. So he was like dead, and he rose again. What would have been the first question you would have asked? I don't think it had been the one that they asked. But that's human nature. We've been looking at the disciples, and sometimes we have a tendency to put the disciples up on a pillar as super apostles. Well, Paul kind of dealt with that in his epistles. But we still have a hard time with that. Or in this case, I've had people tell me, well, you know what the problem is here? They didn't have enough faith. If they could just get more faith, it would have worked out for them. If they just had enough faith, they could have been able to take the spirit out of. But it's not about that. Christ gives each of us a measure of faith to believe. What does that mean? We are dead in this life. We can do nothing on our own to save us. We can do nothing of any good to worship the Lord. He gives us a measure of faith that we might believe. That's like rising from the dead. We don't need more faith. We need to exercise the faith that we've been given with the tools that God has given us. It's not about rolling on the mat, which is a good exercising tool for some, but God gives us the tools to exercise our faith. You're here exercising your faith right now. We're going to be receiving the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. The sacraments are a tool to exercise our faith. Prayer and praising with one another is another. The means of grace are the tools of exercising our faith that God has given to His church. Because it's not about getting more faith. That's impossible. It's about strengthening the faith that God has given us. It's about exercising that faith. It's about all of that. We must exercise. The disciples envisioned all the wrong stuff. And I cataloged some of that before. If they had been in school and they were given a test on all the things that Jesus had taught them up to this point, all the things that they had seen, there would have been an F on that paper. Because they weren't paying attention. They weren't involving themselves. They had faith. But they were still more concerned with the world. They were still more concerned with the things that they had been taught prior to Christ. They were still caught up in that. They couldn't say, "I believe, help my unbelief." They would have said, "Well, we're better than he is." That's why they asked the question, "Why couldn't we take this, deal with this? Why couldn't we take care of that?" This one cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. What was Jesus saying? Remember, he had given them the power. He had given them the power to deal with unclean spirits. He had given them the power to heal. He had given them the power to proclaim the gospel. The authority that makes that power effective is through an exercised faith, which is something they haven't been doing for a long time. This exercised faith, exercised belief, must be cultivated through the means of grace and spiritual disciplines, like a robust prayer life, so that we can keep our minds set on God, not ourselves. The disciples were asking about a methodology. Jesus was teaching a lifestyle of devotion. You want to be able to use what I've given you, continue to exercise your faith. Every one of us have been given gifts. Every one of us have been enables this church to be what it's meant to be. You're here. Your gift is here. It's meant to fill this place so that we could be what God wants us to be in this location. But it's in exercising our faith that enables us to use our faith productively, effectively, to glorify our Father. That's what Jesus meant. You guys have been so focused on yourself, and you wonder why this one wouldn't come out? Because you were focused on your own power, your own desires. Exercising our faith keeps the weakness of anxiety, despair, and lack of assurance at bay. And if we're not availing ourselves of God's exercise program, we need not be surprised when we're unable or unwilling to do battle for Him. It all begins daily with the cry of this Father, "I have faith. I have faith. I believe. Help my unbelief." That's where we begin. "I believe. Help my unbelief." We are weak, but we serve a strong King. Pray with me. Our Father and our God, we are grateful this day for your continued blessing of your word that reminds us of the absolute truth. Even as your elect, in this life, we are weak on our own. Nothing we can give is good enough without you. Father, we pray and give thanks that you continue to remind us of our need for you. Our need to submit to you. Our need to be in subjection to your will, that we might bring you honor and glory, and that we might be a blessing to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Exercising our faith. As I said, one of the ways we exercise our faith is with receiving the sacraments as a means of grace. The preaching of the word, the reception of the sacraments, prayer and receiving and one another, those things are means of grace. And church discipline as well. You hardly ever talk about that one. But it's all part and parcel with how we exercise our faith. This morning as we come before God's table, that's who this table belongs to. David Staggs may have built it, but it's for God's purpose, and it's his table. It's not a PCA table. It's a table for all those who are part of the universal church that have been baptized to come and receive from the Lord. If you are today at odds with the Lord or in open rebellion against someone else, don't receive this meal. As you'll see in a minute, God warns his people against receiving this meal inappropriately. But for all of us who need this continued exercise program, that needs his continued presence in our life, this is a family meal. And we come together to receive. With the understanding that not all of us, even our littlest among us, don't receive, but we look forward to that day that they do, so that as a meal, we can all participate together. Receiving this is not a mark of our personal worthiness. This is a gift, a sign and seal of the covenant of grace. It's a testimony to the inherited riches that believers have to look forward to and that we have to hold on to. Listen as I read the words of institution from 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That's why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. Pray with me. Father, again, thank you for this gift that you've given to the church, that we might receive your grace. Your grace comes before another one has left us. Grace upon grace. We rejoice in your constant giving. And as we look at the sacraments, we recognize it's just one more form of the means of grace for us to continue to grow and to bring you honor and glory. We pray your blessing be upon these simple elements that represent your body and blood, the wine, the grape juice, and the bread. And we pray your blessing be upon them, that as we partake, we receive the grace that you've promised us. And we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And please hold until everyone has received, and then we will partake together. Lord said, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he took the third cup of the night, the cup of redemption from the Passover meal, and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Drink from it, all of you. The light is grape juice and the dark is wine." Please hold until everybody receives together. There was a cup. Men prophesied that the enemies of God would drink his wrath down to the dregs. Jesus drank that cup that we might drink this one and rejoice in his good favor. Drink from it, all of you. Father, we thank you so much for the day, for your grace, for your continued grace, that love that is steadfast forever. In Jesus' name, amen. As we bring our time to a close this morning, let us stand together and sing from your insert, In Christ Alone.
Thank you.
How hard is it to say these words? I believe. Help my unbelief. Not a bad way to start your day. Recognizing our need for the Lord, recognizing our need to repent of our sins, recognizing our need for Him. Receive the benediction of the Lord. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of the Father, fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each of you always. Amen.